Welcome to the Selling Out Show.
You're excited! Feel these nipples!
What it does is reaches into your brain chemically and locates your happiest memory chemically, and then locks onto that emotion and freezes it chemically, and then it keeps your happy.
Hello, 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 and thank you for tuning in to the Selling Out Show, where we screw up life at our leisure for your listening pleasure. I'm one of your hosts, Dazzling Dave Schultz, and over here by my side are my co-hosts, Whack Nugget Nate Gorzinski and Tickle Me Toby Schofield. Gentlemen, how are ya?
Oh, Tickle Me Toby?
Yeah.
Is that what it was?
Yeah. And Whack Nugget Nate Gorzinski, what do you guys think? I just kind of made those up on the fly. Keepers?
I guess so. They're as good as any that I've heard, you know.
You must have heard some pretty bad ones.
I like the Tickle Me Toby thing. I think that's pretty accurate.
That's catchy.
Why, Toby?
Do you frequently ask strangers to tickle you? What, hey, why, how is that even accurate in the least?
How else am I going to get my laughs during the day?
This is true.
Give me a little tickle.
Well, yeah. And Nate, I called you Whack Nugget.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That sums it up.
One big lump.
I don't know, anything with a nugget, it's like I just feel like that encapsulates my being, my persona. Right. I'm nugget like but
well,
anyhow,
I think you should definitely be printed on t-shirts, worn by each one of us.
I'm with Whack Nugget.
I'm with the Whack Nugget. Not me. I like Dazzling Dave over there. No, let me tickle me some Toby.
Yeah,
that's those are going to stick for a long time.
Those
all
are
the
wrestling
fans,
names.
Yeah. Oh, we'd be terrible. We'd be the worst tag team. Actually, a tag team when it's got three people, is there a special name for that, or is it still just a tag team?
I'm the wrestling nerd. I still kind of watch wrestling. In one company, they call them trios.
Trio.
Well, I never would have thought of that one.
Yeah. That's new.
Some
That's
weird
different.
Name.
Yeah.
They call them trios. They call, as opposed to, I don't know, threesomes, because that sounds even more homoerotic than wrestling already is.
Yeah, bunch of sweaty dudes. I can't wait until we're a trio, and then I go underneath the ring, but you come underneath the ring, and then we switch masks. So you come out, but then you're reinvigorated, and you lay down some fucking whoop ass, I guess they call it.
Yeah,
and I'm underneath, but I peek out a little bit, and the camera catches me, and they're like, whoa, there's Dazzling Dave. He's hiding, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, we're like two totally different body types, but they never even notice.
Oh, we are totally on the opposite end of the spectrum there. That's for sure. I think I would be more Nugget-esque than you, my friend. You were definitely more lean.
I don't know. You're like an arancini in shape.
You think so?
Yeah. You know what? I don't know. Arancinis are tasty.
They're tasty, and I was almost going to take that as my nickname, but it doesn't fit, you know? So
Dave Arancini.
That sounds like a normal person's name. Yeah. Like, that's the dude at the laundromat who put too much fucking fabric softener in the machine. I don't know. But anyway, guys, what is going on with you dudes? What's new? What's happening? What's with it?
Toby, what's up with you, man? How you been?
Besides coworkers trying to, you know, give me the virus, everything else has been good.
Yeah.
I think I might be dying right now. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see in a couple of days.
Who's trying to French kiss you?
Yeah, what happened?
So I work in the oil field, and this guy, it's the oil field. Manly men out there doing manly men stuff. And of course, all these guys aren't really like gonna wear masks, and he walks up to me and he's not wearing his damn mask.
Yeah.
And because we're working outside and stuff, and he's just coughing, and he's like, I got this bad headache. And I was like, oh no.
Wow.
I was like, okay, maybe he's just got a headache, you know, what am I worrying about? this morning he calls in. Well, he came to work and he's like, I got to go home. I still have a bad headache. So now I've been paranoid all day. Like, do I feel sick? Is my head hurting? I'm stressing out a little bit.
Yeah, I imagine so, man. It sounds like, you know, I don't know. You might want to get a test. Seriously, you know, keep an eye on things. But scary. You guys are in the thick of red state mask denial country down there, I feel like.
Yeah. It's those real bad.
Oil field guys, you know, burly Trump supporters.
Well, here's the thing, too, is Toby, you had someone open mouth coughing. Within inches of you, but you didn't distance yourself from the situation.
I got away. I was like, oh, I'm going to stand over here.
How did you get away? Excuse me. I'm gonna
punch the guy in the face.
I stepped back. I took about 4 or 5 big steps away, and I was like, I got to work on something over here, which there was nothing for me to do. It was me just bullshitting and getting away, but yeah. So I mean, like, even, you know what? Let's just say that there's not a thing happening all around the world. Like, why would you come up to me when you're sick or not feeling good? Just fucking stay back.
Right. Got this. Send me a text. I'm feeling crappy. Send.
Zoom with me. Tell me how terrible you feel. I just can't get over the fact that Toby's like getting coughed on and he's like spittle and whatever saliva is landing on his face. And he's like, I'm just going to step back. And it just ends up landing on his chest instead. Because he only moved back 2 steps. He's like, hey. That's all I need to do. That's the distance. Yep. And now you feel like shit. Now you think you're gonna die, right? So
I don't feel like shit. Yeah, I think I'm just, I don't know. I'm on the first
thinking about feeling like shit.
That's what it is. I'm thinking I might be trying to get sick. I don't know. We'll see. Like I said, if I'm here on the next episode, then I didn't die, you know?
All right.
You know, I said something fucking terrible today, and I'm going to freely admit it on this humble little program of ours.
Confessional time.
Yeah, totally. So let me in the little, I've never been in a confessional. I've only seen them in movies.
Yeah.
So I'm just smelling the pine, and I'm going in, and I got to do the little slide window thing. Yeah. Where it's supposed to protect your anonymity, but realistically, you can see through it anyway. So here we are.
It doesn't protect your virginity either.
No. Anonymity or virginity. Those
Catholic churches.
Gone. So my job has been going fucking horrible lately to the point where I just hate going to work. I it's just the worst situation ever. And if anybody has been in the similar circumstances, when you just loathe what you do so much for a living that you get knots in your stomach and you're like, God, what the hell am I doing this for? I'm doing this for you right now. And here's this is a legit noise. It's not a sound effect added after. Oh, did you hear that? I'm actually having a couple pops because what the hell?
It's Frank the Tank is back. Dave the Tank.
Let's go fucking streak the quad, baby. But what I was going to say that was such a horrible thing for me to utter out loud was someone mentioned the coronavirus and what I do for a living today. And I'm like, yeah, I can't wait to get it.
Wow.
And they're like, what? And I'm like, yeah, I can take a couple weeks off. I got money in the bank. I'm all set. Financially, it wouldn't hurt me at all. And I don't have to deal with this fucking shit for 2 weeks.
It's like you're inviting it into you.
It's like a scene out of a movie. I know, right? It does, but it's not a scene out of the movie because I can't like just run up to someone and be like, oh, please cough in my face. Oh, flick that booger. Flick it on me.
Lick the inside of your mouth.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not doing any of that, but I'm like, if it happens, I'm not going to be like, oh, bummer. And I mean, I have a family to think about. I wouldn't want to come home and infect my fucking family or nothing, but this is how much I fucking hate my job right now.
Yeah,
where I would welcome having a legit reason not to go for 2 weeks.
Yeah. Well, listen to this. I mean, Carly, my girlfriend, she works in with these, not, she doesn't really work with them anymore, but she's had days where she's had to interact with them, and she has this whole getup with like the welder's mask looking thing. It's like this, well, just a plastic shield and like, you know, full body covering, all this shit. She's like wearing a full body condom walking.
I'm thinking like E.T.
Yeah.
You know,
but then
yeah.
she comes home and like just dumps all her clothes in the wash. You know, she like everything's super like taken care of and like, but the thing is she sees how these people are, and she's like, the people that are kind of flipping about it or whatever, it's like, if you see some of these people, and even the ones that get better, it's like, afterwards, their lungs are fucked. It's like they've been smoking for their whole life, even if they've never smoked at all, and like, because there can be damage forever, and but anyway, it's like, I understand that, yeah, that is kind of a lousy thing to say, but at the same time, like what you said, I mean, but at the same time, I spent those couple months in the hospital for my spinal infection. And once the pain started subsiding, dude, being in the hospital for a while was pretty damn sweet. I feel horrible about the fact that sometimes I look back at that time when I was in that hospital and I'm like, damn, man, that was kind of all right. They were handing me painkillers all day. And
yeah.
In the beginning, they were shooting me up with Dilaudid. And, like, yeah. it was out of control. And, like, sometimes I honestly am like, wow, man, I wish, you know, I pine for those days.
Well, guys, here's the other thing, right, is I was just giving Toby a hard time about his coworker, you know, getting too close to him or whatever.
Yeah.
And so, like I said, I couldn't jump in front of the bullet. To get it, you know, it's almost like in a baseball reference, right?
Yeah,
you know, you're going to get hit by the pitch, but you still jump out of the way, even though you know when you get hit, you're going to get a free base.
Right, right.
It's like instinct. Me. Like, I still can't. I couldn't do that on purpose, you know? Right. So I'm joking, half joking, but half not joking. And I understand. Like, what you're saying about how your girlfriend sees the people get ravaged by it and their health is worse. I understand all that. But I'm also under the notion that I probably have already had it and just didn't know it due to the fact I'm an essential worker and I'm always out amongst the people since day one.
Right. Yeah.
I've never been able to quarantine or anything like that. So I'm probably one of those, you know, folks who had it and just didn't know.
Yeah, a carrier. You're a carrier.
Yeah, I am. But like, I'm delivering your mail.
Can I just say though, I never mentioned this and I feel like I should, and this is totally off that topic, but kind of back to what I was just saying before, is I never mentioned, like, we have a listener on this podcast that's been a faithful listener the whole time. Her name is Melissa and she is super awesome. And when I was in that hospital for those 2 months, she came with her husband to visit me on the weekends, on like Saturdays. And dude, she would make these amazing homemade meals. And like, she does all this, like, she's like super healthy cooking and super tasty gourmet shit. And like, she would make candies. Dude, I don't know how much she wants her business being put out there, but I didn't say her name, her last name just now. So, but she's usually pretty proud of it, but she would make these THC edibles, like, but in, I'm talking, it's also legal in my state, so it's not something to be ashamed of. But the candies were like these super gourmet. It would be like turmeric and ginger and this, you know, all these flavors, espresso and blah, blah, blah. Like just amazing. It was incredible. And she was an angel. And I don't know why I never mentioned it on this podcast before, but I feel like I should. So I'm just throwing a shout out to Melissa out there. She knows who she is, and she's fucking awesome.
And
so
we love you. We do. We do.
It sounds like you had too much fun at the hospital. Jeez.
Yeah, man.
You were supposed to be there for bad reasons, not having fun.
No, I'm eating edibles like every day, dude. It made it tolerable. I'll put it that way.
Yeah.
You know,
I bet. That's one way to go through the hospital anyway.
Hell yeah, man. You know, but
see, I would have been the worst person for her to visit in the hospital because all the flavor combinations and, you know, fancy ways of crafting food means nothing to me.
But she would give me the option. She'd be like, here, these are your options, and you can combine this row with this row of things. Like, you would have found something you liked, dude.
I'd be like, give me the fucking thing that tastes like chocolate. It's going to get me high. Yeah.
Dude, I had these chocolate candies that had, like, red pepper, like cayenne pepper, yeah, so they had a spice to them.
I don't need the cayenne. I don't the cayenne is a stripper. I don't need that. Well, actually, I kind of do. But you get my drift. You know what I mean? Like,
yippee,
she'd be like,
cayenne, motherfucker.
Yeah, yippee, cayenne. She'd be like, okay, here are your options. And like you said, turmeric and ginger and lilac or whatever. Be like, yeah, just give me the fucking shit that tastes like Hershey's.
Yeah.
It's going to get me fucked up.
Of thought and a lot of work into them, dude.
Oh, I dig. No, I'm not trying to disparage any of this. I understand.
You're like, I'm a meat and potatoes kind of guy.
I
put some edible THC in my meat and potatoes, please.
What was the line from Boogie Nights where he's like, I like a lollipop in my mouth, butter in my ass, lollipop in my mouth.
I'm a simple guy.
I'm a simple guy. That's it. I'm sure Toby can relate to that.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Well, what?
Maybe.
I like the lollipop in my ass.
In my mouth. I'm completely backwards from that.
Are you? So, Toby, man, other than being coughed on and stuff and possibly infected, which that's totally, brought us into the weeds a little bit, working in an oil field, it's weird because you're like, yeah, you guys can relate. You kind of made it sound like everybody understands what it's like working in an oil
field. You know how the oil field guys are,
We have no idea what the fuck you're talking about. You could be walking around with a clipboard. You could be knee deep in black gold, fucking pulling on
Texas
something.
Tea.
Yeah, Texas tea. We don't fucking know.
I know. I forget that because usually when I say oil field, people are like, oh, you work on the rig. No, I'm too soft to work on a rig. Like, I'm basically like the meter maid for the most part. I go and check and see how much oil and gas the wells are making and if there's a problem with them. There's a number of things I can do to try to make them produce. So.
Okay.
Yeah, oh, like you're a fluff guy on a porn set.
Yeah, pretty much.
The pipe's working.
Yeah, he's like, we need to get more milk out of this bad boy. What can I do? Let me tickle here, do a little tug there. Biggity bam. Oh, yeah. I mean, okay, let's say an oil well is not meeting expectations. I don't know what the productivity would be required of such a thing, but let's just say it isn't. What do you do to make it work better? Talk to it, sing to it. Lick it.
I mean, I try those things, but it rarely works. I mean, some of these wells you can shut in and they'll build up pressure by themselves and you can open it up. Sometimes you have to get like a compressor, which will push gas down one side of the well and it'll come up the tubing side and it'll help move the fluid, which will help move the gas. Huh. And then, like I said, I could bore you to death with it because
we're learning a lot tonight.
It's not very cool. Like it's really kind of lame. Like, and it's not like it's not the manly job in the oil field. Like, yeah, you gotta use your hands and some muscles, which I don't hardly have, but, I'm the softest guy in the oil field. Let me put that out there. Like I'm seriously the teddy bear out there and everyone's. Just kind of looks at me like I'm an idiot out there.
You're like, one of these things is not like the other.
Yes.
A bunch of Mike Rowe, Dirty Jobs guys with their hands all black and, overalls for some reason, they're not wearing shirts. And then there's you out there.
Toby's like, I'm going to pull this lever.
Yeah, it's not bad, though. I mean, like I was going to say, if I can do it, anyone can do it is what I was getting at. So, as long as you can do math. You can do math. You can do it.
With a calculator or mental?
Yeah, you can use a calculator.
Well, then what the fuck? What am I doing here agonizing over my livelihood, drinking fucking Coors Light over here like a fucking idiot when I could come work with you? Is any openings or what?
It's the job I have now is hard to get. As it is, you have to know someone that knows someone that knows
it's like
someone.
A state job, kind of, right? It's like working for the fucking highway department.
But since the oil field's not doing so hot right now, it's even harder just because, companies are going out of business and, it's good times right now. We're in one of those dips where the oil field's not good. It happens like every, 4 years, if you catch my drift there.
Yeah, well, that's boring. Yeah. Fuck. So, anyway, Toby, we were talking a little bit earlier, and there was something you were saying about how you get into a fight when you're a young guy or some kind of brawl.
You know what? So
what?
There's a couple of like weird memories when I was a kid, and I was wondering if you guys had these kind of things, like where you remember something, but you're like, man, I don't know if that really happened to me, or if that was a story someone told me, or if it was a fucking TV show I saw.
Yeah.
But like one of mine, it was the first time I ever rode the bus, and I couldn't have been like, I had to have been like 8 or 9 or something like that. And it was the first time I was riding the bus, and I was already terrified because I'd never done it before.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember they took us to the high school, which scared me even more because the big kids. and I didn't ride the bus after this for like until I was a teenager, because I guess this frightened me so bad. I don't know. I just remember this experience. So we're sitting at the high school, and I hear these people yelling out my window. So I look, and one is this great big heavyset dude, and this other, just this like pencil skinny guy. And they're pushing each other.
Okay.
And they sounds like me and Nate.
Yeah, maybe it was you guys. Yeah. So anyways, they start swinging at each other. And then the skinny dude does this like martial arts, like right out of a karate movie, like spin kick, like up in the air and kicks the dude in the
double
head.
Double dragon.
Yes. And he just falls over.
Wow.
And like, I remember being so scared of high school because I was like, I'm going to have to fight people.
It's like blood sport up there.
Yeah. But like, what the fuck aren't you terrified of? You're terrified about getting on the goddamn bus. You're terrified of going to school. What's going on here?
I don't
life
know.
Is
but
scary.
But I don't know if I don't know if that was a real thing or if it was like a movie I watched because of how like weird it was. Like.
Yeah.
It was just, it looked like something right out of like a Mortal Kombat movie. Like this fucking spin kick this dude did was like, it was Jean-Claude Van Damme or something.
Going to school with Liu Kang up there, man.
Oh, God. But listen, here's the thing, right? You don't know if this is a manifestation or
it could have been a dream. Yeah.
It could have been a dream. You don't know. Right. But how real is it to you?
I feel like it happened. Like I'm 100% sure that it happened. But again, it's one of those things where I'm like, I don't know. I think I got knocked out when I was a kid, like a little bitty kid. So the neighbor was gonna mow our yard, and he was like a teenager, and I was a little kid, and I was playing outside.
Yeah.
And I was probably just being, you know, nosy, and I was following him around and stuff. And I remember he pulled the string to start the mower, and he elbowed me right in the nose, and I remember standing behind him.
Not real.
Not real? You don't think that's real?
No, that's like a scene from like a Farrelly Brothers movie or something.
No, I specifically, and this is why I'm like, is it real or is it a movie or is it a dream?
So what happened? Did you woke up on the ground, you said?
No, so I remember like seeing like my, you know, I was looking forward and then seeing the clouds and being on my back. Like, but it didn't do anything to my nose or anything. I wasn't bloody or anything like, I didn't have a knot. Weird. I don't remember. Maybe I did, but that's all I remember about it. I don't remember anything else about that memory. So I'm like, did that happen?
I wouldn't be concerned unless you woke up littered with butterscotch wrappers.
Yeah, your belt's loose, something. Yeah. I don't know. It's a little weird.
But. Sitting up hurts a little bit. You're like, what the butterscotch? What, where are those originals?
Grandpa?
We can say.
No, I was going to say, any of those, like, getting knocked out, like, if it happens, there's always that confusion when you wake up. And, like, I had this weird thing that would happen every time I would pass out and come to. Because my friends and I, when we were young, we were stupid. We would do the thing where you bend over and hyperventilate a lot, and then you stand up, and then you cross your arms across your chest, and your friend pushes really hard on your arms across, and you pass out. Or eventually we learned how to do it by yourself, and you just basically like choke yourself with your hands, like you'd hyper, whatever. I don't want to give people ideas on the listeners here, but the point is, we would make yourself pass out. And it's really dangerous, of course, you know, for, I don't know, I suppose, but I'm told, but it was a lot of fun. But you'd always wake up and you'd be all confused. And I've lived a crazy life, and I had a lot of times where I went unconscious from drug use, you know, accidentally doing a little too much and I'm coming to, you know, but the thing is, everyone around me would always say, when you come to, whenever you're out cold and you come to, you always say something. It would be like, I'd say, I have an erection right now. One time. Another time I said something, like, it would always be something weird and sexual. Like, I'm having, like I'd come to and I'd say something bizarre like that. Like, oh, you know, touch my inner thigh. And one time I said something, just weird shit. And I'm like.
And that's exactly why I'm afraid to have, like, anesthesia or something if I ever have to have a big surgery, because I'm just gonna be like, it's gonna be a truth serum and I'm like, I'm attracted to leprechauns, and I'm like, oh no,
is that
everyone
true?
Knows my secret.
That's the truth serum. Is that really true? Like now. Leprechauns? Yeah, it's out on the interwebs now, buddy. Holy mackerel!
Who gives a terrify fuck? Me.
Who cares? Say whatever you want to say if you're on anesthesia. Just be like, oh my God, I hope nobody licks my balls when I fall asleep, because if you did, I'd like it a lot. Yeah. They probably hear that shit all the fucking time.
Right. You've got an excuse, you know. I'm not thinking straight.
You know? That's got to be the best job, because you probably do hear some wacky ass shit. Like, someone's got to have a book out there of, like, just shit that people have said to them, like, going under or coming to.
Well, I will have you both know, on this very program, I have discussed surgeries I've had, one of which was in depth about my hernial mesh surgery and the fiasco that ensued. Yeah. But I don't know if I did bring this up at the time, but I will say it now, was they had a couple young doctors in training.
Okay.
I don't know what you call them, interns, right? Maybe.
Yeah, they're like students still,
or
whatever.
They're both hot as hell. Like, and so, like, the whole time I know they're going to see me bare ass, you know?
Yeah.
I know it. And I was a little concerned about it going in. But then I was like, once they give me the happy juice, who cares? Because, like, like we just said, the seasoned doctor hears all this crap all the time.
Right.
And whatever. But it's almost like taking somebody's virginity, right? If you're somebody's first, you want to leave them with a good experience, because they're going to remember you forever.
Right.
So maybe these young girls... I was the first, I don't know, gaping butthole they saw sprawled on a fucking table. And they remember that for, like, the rest of their days. I don't know. I'm just
like, drink it in, ladies. Drink it in.
Soak it up, buttercup.
That's my fear, though. I don't want to be like, you know, the two interns are talking after being, you know, doctors for 10 years. They're like, hey, you remember that tiny penis guy that kept like mumbling about having sex with gorillas? Like, like, I don't want to be that guy.
Yeah.
Micro penis oil field guy. I remember him. Tickle me, Toby.
When I was, again, the same thing, when I was in that hospital, when I was in the actual hospital before I got to the nursing home part, I was like, I couldn't do anything. I couldn't wash myself. I couldn't do it, whatever. So the nurses would, like, they'd be like, stand up. I'm standing with a walker, like, to hold myself up. And they'd be like, opening my Johnny, sponging me down. Like, it was very humbling, dude. Like, they'd be like washing my ass and like balls and shit. Like, I couldn't do anything. But, you know, I'm at that age now. I'm not an old guy. But I figure I got to jump on that age where you don't give a shit. You know, I'm just like, whatever, man.
But was it like when they washed you, was it delicate or was it very violent?
She was real good.
Did they get in the crevices? Delicate.
You could tell she was being gingerly about it, but she was effective, efficient.
She was hot.
You know, that was the humbling part. It's like all these nurses were super hot.
Right.
And I was like, ugh. I mean, again, that made it even a nice again. I'm like sitting there in hospital, but all these hot chicks are like walking around and like catering to my needs. I'd be like, hey, give me a coffee there, sweetheart. You know, smack him on the ass.
Grab me a coffee and scrub my undercarriage, darling.
Yeah.
Thanks, tits.
I need another shot of Dilaudid in a fucking sponge bath.
Yeah. Fucking Toby just said toots. That was so, you know, you work in the oil fields, but you might as well work on a fucking construction site, New York City, 1985, with a fucking comment like that. Hey, toots, can you whistle?
Mentality. Nice gams, lady.
Nice gams.
Yeah, I can't whistle.
Oh, guys, I'm dying right now.
Yeah.
I'm looking at this, because once I'm done hanging out with you gents, I got to fucking pay my electricity bill.
Ugh.
Gee, what do you guys normally pay for, like, electricity per month? Do you think? Oh, okay, look, we're in September.
Yeah.
So this bill's from the month previous. So August, what do you think you pay for electricity in the month of August?
Oh, Jesus, down there when you're using AC and
well,
shit?
Yeah, I use AC all day, every day. But, yeah, okay, right. So maybe Toby can relate. Toby, what do you expect to pay?
Well, I had an extremely high electric bill, like, 2 months ago. Like, it was...
How much was it? Just tell me.
$450.
Get the fuck out of here.
I don't know how. I have no idea. I think someone had to have been like hooking up their fucking entire neighborhood to my house. Right? It was insane.
Instead of stealing your cable, they're stealing your power.
They just have it. They have a line right from my roof to theirs, I guess.
Yeah, but are you leaving, like, the AC on when you're gone all day? Or
in fairness, this was when my kid was staying at home. He was staying over here more than at his mom's, and so I was leaving the air conditioner on for him, and I was trying to make sure it was cool.
Yeah, cooler. What is it, Chilly Willy? What the holy cow.
He's a penguin. He's actually a penguin.
I was going to say. He's fucking frigid.
Usually in the summer, it's like... 210 or so, 220.
Well, mine right now, and this is the one I'm grimacing over as I look at it, is $271.37 fucking cents.
Yeah, that's pretty high, man.
Yeah, but. You know, I it's like, what the fuck? I got the money, I'm going to pay for it. But like, when a bill's that high, because normally my bill, even during the summer, is like 180, 190 bucks. So yeah. I know I'm fucking like really, you know, fucking getting angry over a small amount here. When you look at the big picture, for all those rich motherfuckers out there, like, oh, dude, what the fuck, man? You bitching about fucking 80 bucks? But I am.
Yeah.
And here's the deal. Okay. When you have the money, you just pay it. When you don't have the money, you fucking call and you say, hey, why the hell is my bill so high?
Right.
But I got the money. I'm going to pay it because I don't want my fucking electricity to be in arrears.
Yeah.
So... Yeah. What the fuck, man? But still, I don't know, that's but, grumpy. You know, man, shit I could buy with $271.37?
I feel like 1 month out of the summer and 1 month out of the winter, they always screw you. And they're like, I don't know what happened. You just use a lot more electricity. Like, it happens every year. One month out of each summer and winter.
It's funny you say that, because one time I got a bill for like 200, not as high as this, 200 something. And then like the next month, my bill was $18. I'm like, aha.
Yeah.
You slimy sons of bitches. You corrected yourself because you knew I was going to fucking get you.
Man, I really do. I feel like that $400 bill. I mean, again, I know my kid was home, but like, come on. All he's doing is like, he's got a TV and a PlayStation on all day. He's not like having light switch raves throughout the house and stuff.
Flicking lights on and off. He's like, it's a rave. It's a rave.
He's just going.
But you paid it, right? You didn't complain about it?
Yeah, just... no, I paid it, unhappily paid it, yes.
Okay, right, which I'm about to do right now. I'm just going to go online, fucking pay the bill, grumble, grumble, grumble. It's over. It's done with.
Right.
So why didn't you complain?
I'm lazy. I'm so fucking lazy.
That's most people, dude. That's how it is. And they count on that. They count on people not fighting shit.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. 100%. Like, because I probably could have called them and been like, what the fuck? And they would have probably given me some kind of discount or something. Well, you know what? Here's a funny thing. One time I was calling to ask a question about my AT&T bill.
Yeah.
And I wasn't like bitching about anything. I think I was asking like, hey, how much is it to put a smartwatch on your account? Whatever it was. And the lady was like, oh, you've been with us for 10 years. I was like, yeah. And she was like, well, let me get you a discount on your plan. And I was like,
golly willikers.
I was like, what? Yeah. I don't know if maybe she thought I was about to try to leave or something because maybe. I was asking, but I was like, okay, cool. Sure. Mm. Go for it.
Well, Maybe it's just like the sound of your pipes.
Yeah.
That's it, man.
I got some sexy sounds coming out of my face.
Yeah, that's probably the most untrue thing ever spoken in the history of mankind, but whatever helps you sleep at night. But hey, who knows?
Panty melter pipes. Folks.
What's that?
I said he's got some panty melter pipes.
He's no Mel Torme. Panty melter pipes.
Panty Mel Torme.
Toby's no Velvet Fog. Yeah. I've seen me some Velvet Fog, and Toby is no Velvet Fog.
No.
Maybe Ethel Merman. You know what's funny? I'm bringing up these names now. Some dude who's like 80 years old is checking out the Selling Out show for the first time. He's like, they're speaking my language.
I get references.
This show's a knee slapper.
Yeah. They're talking about Carol Channing. Diamonds are a girl's best friend.
Oh, God.
Yeah. We are currents. We are cutting edge.
We're hula hoops and Nintendo games here, people. That's what we're doing.
Yes.
Nate, how about you? Anything else you got on the agenda? What's going on with you? Do you want to talk to us about anything or
Really. I've got the home to myself. My brother's in town visiting, so I'm here at my folks recording as I do. I come here to record, and it's my studio in my old bedroom, as I've mentioned before on the show. But my brother's here, which is cool. He's from Colorado, and I didn't get to see him this year because I usually go out there every year to go skiing in Vail with him where he lives. But this year with the virus and whatnot, I couldn't. So it's nice to see him.
Right.
But this weekend I'm flying solo because Carly is in New Hampshire. She drove with the dog, with our Doberman that we got a few months back, or like she's like a year old now. But anyway, she's doing a dog show because my life has become, you know, dog show. It's like that movie Best in Show, that Christopher Guest movie. Like,
right.
That shit's pretty accurate, man. People are pretty psychotic about their dogs. But anyway, our Doberman is actually, she does pretty well at shows. So the virus had all the shows closed, but now they're opening back up, so she's going back to shows. And I'm at home.
Does she have to like trot in a circle? Yeah. Like, what is it, like what you see on TV?
Yes. Yeah. They go in the circle. They go up and down. The judge has to come inspect them. Like, they open the mouth, show the teeth, do all this shit. The judge is like, yeah, man, it's pretty, it's pretty, I don't know how you call it, politically incorrect in these days. It's kind of like a beauty pageant, you know, where you're like, are you objectifying that Doberman? That's disgusting. You're judging her based on her body shape.
I'm thinking about dogs doing it to us.
Yeah, man.
Like putting us on a podium as some dog judge comes up. Let me see his gums.
Yeah.
Let me see his teeth.
An ingrown dew claw. Yeah.
Yeah, so, well, that's cool, man. Your dog's going to win something.
Hopefully.
And then what do you get, money?
You do eventually, man. The people, like right now, we're still at that point where it's like you're paying money to get into it, but to get into the show. But some of the shows she's getting into now do have cash prizes. And, you know, I win a few $100, and then eventually you get to a level if you've won enough. Your credentials are high enough where you can enter the ones that are really, you know, the high stakes, and you can make good money.
It's a pyramid scheme.
Yeah, man.
Pyramid scheme. But I was thinking more like a boxing setup, like you to win your competitions to go up the ranks.
Yeah, it's a tournament. Yeah, it's like the brackets, you know.
Yeah.
Now doesn't it help with like if you breed dogs and stuff, like it makes your dog more valuable, like, oh, yeah, look how beautiful my dog is. You need to breed with it.
The girl that we got ours from, the girl that we got ours from is a breeder. She constantly, not constantly, that it's not like a puppy mill. Like, she's very respectful. She's a good dog breeder, but she definitely has experience now. And like, I'll go visit her and she'll have all these puppies. They're adorable. They're little Doberman puppies, but she has started to make a name for herself. Like, she's actually bred some champion dogs now. And the more, we got our dog with the agreement that we would show her, because she's like, you know, the more of her lineage that wins or gets into it, the better it looks for her. So she's becoming a pretty respected breeder at this point. And we're going to breed ours too, you know, eventually. And people pay like thousands of dollars for Doberman puppies, dude. It's kind of a racket.
Wow.
You know?
Wish people pay me that much for my puppies.
Fuck, man. She's pure, though. It's like, you know, she'll be in the heat and Carly's all like, don't let her fucking out. Like some
what?
Dog, don't let her out, you know, like, cause some dog down the street will try to bang her because she's in heat, like showing her pussy off. And like, we're like, only breed with these, you know, we're very racist about it.
I'm going to sit there. She's like at the door. You're like, I'm sorry.
Yeah, he's not pure, bro.
He can't. Yeah. Right. It's going to be like fucking West Side Story in your house or something. Right? Well, dude, these dated references, I got to cut the shit.
Wow, man.
I really yeah. do. Yeah. Holy yeah. cow. All right. So that's your life right now. Your old yeah. lady's off fucking showing off the dog.
Yep.
Hopefully, you know, climbing the ladder.
Yep.
So to speak, so you can make some big money off of this poor animal's
objectification.
Yeah. I was going to say genealogy, but I just said yeah. that wrong. Genealogy. Thank yeah. you. Yeah. So, yeah. All right. Well, that's cool. So what are you going to do with yourself while she's away? Any kind of like activities that you can't normally do when she's home?
Not really. My brother's in town, like I said, so we're right. hanging out a bit. I can geek out with him. We can like watch movies and play video games because we're like man children. But you know how it is, you know. But I don't know. It's nice to see him. I live on a lake, so my brother can come over. We can go jet skiing and whatnot, and so that's fun, you know. But it's still warm enough to go in the lake, so it's nice, but. And I got the horses. I got to take care of the horses over the weekend and whatnot. So it's always something, dude. Always fucking something.
All right. Well, hey, our lives are all pitiful and fucking boring.
Basically.
Can we all agree on that or yeah, no? Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, I'm comfortable with it.
All right, cool. All right. Yeah, I'm cool with it. So let's move on. And at this point in the show, I want to do my live read. What is that, you may ask? That is thanking the partners that we have that help make this show possible. And first up, we have alpinehemp.com. The CBD revolution has arrived. If you are not aware or have yet to try CBD, there is no better place to visit than alpinehemp.com. The prices are incredibly low, and they have formulas to fit everybody's needs. From oils to capsules, some gummies to teas, pet products, and more, they have everything in store. Make sure you visit alpinehemp.com. Northlandvapor.com. I am a huge vapor. If you pay close attention during the show, you probably hear me hitting my vape. And I am enjoying Northland Vapor's fine e-liquids, which happen to be Diketone and artificial sweetener free. Yet again, important stuff. Why? Because it's not like they're trying to pump you full of poison like normal cigarette companies do by hiding all the ingredients that they put in their products. No, not here with NorthlandVapor.com. They're upfront and honest because they want to help you with smoking cessation. Visit them at NorthlandVapor.com or their 3 retail locations in South Fargo, North Dakota, Moorhead, and Bemidji, Minnesota. Now, here's the best part. You visit either of those sites, alpinehemp.com or northlandvapor.com, and use code SELLINGOUT19 at checkout. You save 19% off your entire order. Sweet friggin' deal. Last but not least, we have Spunk Lube. Yes, Spunk Lube. I know there's some stigma involved in buying lube. I get it. Toby gets it. Don't you, Tobster?
I sure do get it.
You more than anybody on the face of the earth. But here's the deal. You visit spunklube.com, pick out one of their amazing varieties of personal lubricant, and they ship it discreetly right to your door. There's no going to the store and feeling awkward about picking something up off the shelves. This is a product that professionals in the adult film industry use. But why let them have all the fun? Visit spunklube.com today, and you can thank me later. And you know what time it is, guys? It's time for some Nate's Notes.
Dust off your LPs. It's time for Nate's Notes. Notes.
I've done segments before about the music scene of the 90s and how suddenly the airwaves were filled with the sounds of, quote, alternative music. There's a relevant interview with Janie Lane, the late singer of 80s hair metal band Warrant, that sums things up. He recalls going to a meeting with a rep from his record label and noticing that on the walls of the label's office, which were always adorned with posters of his own band, Warrant, they were suddenly covered with Alice in Chains posters. Things kind of changed overnight. The 90s saw the rise of weirdo acts like Beck and Bjork, primus in the presidents of the United States of America. Suddenly, the record labels were all looking for the next big thing in tiny clubs and the garages of homes in the suburbs. Warner Brothers found their weird wunderkinds in Oklahoma City. The Flaming Lips were a strange, psychedelic alternative act that had been fighting it out in their local scene since the early 80s, and now, about a decade into their career, they had their big break. Their first major label record had some issues with clearance for a sample in one of their songs, which delayed its release, and ultimately, the album, Hit to Death in the Future Head, came and went without much fanfare. Their second record for Warner Brothers, however, called Transmissions from the Satellite Heart, produced a classic single that blew up and made the acquisition of the Flaming Lips seem worth the risk for the big label executives. The song was She Don't Use Jelly, a catchy yet bizarre little tune with silly, sing-alongable lyrics and a fuzzed-out guitar line that embodies the alternative aesthetic of the time. The song got so much recognition that the Flaming Lips got a guest appearance on teen soap opera Beverly Hills 90210. It was a strange experience for this group of grubby dudes from Oklahoma that just like to drop acid and play psychedelic guitar rock. It just illustrates how big the alternative music scene had gotten by that point. Anyway, the label's hopes for the Lips were high, and before long, it was about time to release the follow-up to their breakout album. But alas, said album, Clouds Taste Metallic, dropped with kind of a thud. It's a good record, but it didn't contain another hit a la She Don't Use Jelly, and thus, it didn't garner much label support. The Lips were still signed, but they worried that they would be dropped, as happened with many a one-hit wonder type band. To the band's surprise, however, they managed to stay under the radar, and the label kept them around. Around this time, in the mid to late 90s, their guitarist left, and rather than finding a replacement, the Lips just rolled with it and kind of worked around it. They began doing these sort of avant-garde performances. In the, quote, parking lot experiments, the band got a few dozen volunteers to sit in parked cars and put pre-recorded cassette tapes in the car's stereos. Lips singer Wayne Coyne would conduct these volunteers like an orchestra, telling them when to push play on the tape players and when to adjust the volume, etc. In the boombox experiments, he did the same, but the volunteers were using boombox tape decks instead. They produced an interesting effect that gave the band inspiration to create their next album in a unique format. The Flaming Lips worked with producer Dave Fridman on this ambitious project. They actually built a studio in order to make sure they had complete creative freedom and could do what they needed for the release. The record was called Zaireka, a combination of the words Zaire and Eureka. The album was released as a four-disc set, the idea ultimately being to play all four discs simultaneously, but it can be experienced using three discs, two, or even just by playing disc one alone. Disc one contains the majority of the music, but the other discs add sections of harmonizing sounds, additional instrumentation, etc. If you listen to the accompanying discs, two through four individually, there are sometimes sections of silence before a piano line comes in, for example. Again, disc one is basically the album, but ideally the plan is to play them all together with a couple friends needed to hit play on the added stereos. Most folks didn't even own four CD players, so as ambitious and impressive as Zaireka was, the public didn't really respond, and Warner Brothers were confused on how to even market this thing. In order to get permission to try this experimental release, the band had agreed to record a second album on the same budget they got for Zyreka. They were in for the long haul and kept on working in the new studio they built with Dave Fridman. With the departure of guitarist Ronald Jones, they knew their sound was going to be different. Jones's guitar playing was a huge component of their sound, and now he was gone. What does a band do in that situation? They could have found another guitar player who could mimic Ronald's sound or could even bring a new style to the formula, but instead they decided to go on with just the remaining three members, the aforementioned Wayne Coyne, Michael Ivins, and the super talented Stephen Drode. They began working on this new album, dubbed The Soft Bulletin, while they worked on Zyreka, and the two albums sound fairly similar stylistically. But The Soft Bulletin was easier to digest, being a single album that only required a single listener to hit play once on a single CD player. Working without their longtime guitarist, the idea became to write songs that weren't centered on a guitar line at all. They played with synthesizers and mellotrons, keyboards and samplers. They used pre-recorded tapes of sounds and physically manipulated the tapes as they played on an old reel-to-reel player, messing with the speed and the clarity of the old recordings as they were mixed from those tapes into the new material. Nowadays, there are all kinds of tricks and techniques that bands and producers use in the studio to manipulate sounds and samples, but at the time, this was all pretty revolutionary, and the resulting material was quite unprecedented. The Soft Bulletin is miles away from the days of their big hit, She Don't Use Jelly. The Soft Bulletin is comprised of sweet, orchestrated melodies, stuff that sounds almost like music for a Disney movie, but composed on a head full of acid. And at first, the label execs were skeptical at best. The big change in the sound, the addition of rough pre-recorded sounds into the songs, Wayne Coyne's imperfect and scratchy singing, especially with lyrics about bugs and grocery shopping and other strange and psychedelic subject matter, it was all a bit confounding to these suits at the label. And truthfully, it took a while for the public to open up to it when it was released. It was a big shift, not just in the sound of the band, but of music in general. But by the end of the year, The Soft Bulletin was topping best of lists and being touted as the masterpiece it is. Since that time, the Flaming Lips have released several more records, doing things their own way and getting more and more recognition and accolades. They've not only created their own place in the musical lexicon, but inspired others to make similarly psychedelic music and kind of reshaped the indie scene almost single-handedly. Again, the records the Flaming Lips have released since the beginning of the 2000s have all been pretty well received, and I could talk a lot about the record right after The Soft Bulletin, Yoshimi Battles the Pink Robots, too, as that record may be more popular and critically acclaimed than any of their other work, but it all started with The Soft Bulletin. That record arguably created the band's current persona, complete with bright and colorful live shows, performances with dazzling lights and plush animals dancing around the stage, human-sized hamster balls that Wayne pilots over the crowds like a unique form of crowd surfing. The band is legendary for their live shows now, and it all fits perfectly with the style they created on The Soft Bulletin, a style that defied expectations after losing a foundational member and basically having to start over, a style that fuses trippy psychedelia with a childlike sense of wonder, a sound that is uniquely their own and that brings joy to millions around the world. The Soft Bulletin may have been the Flaming Lips' 9th studio album, but it basically started it all. Truly a classic record.
Amen, brother. Amen. Can't argue with you there.
Yeah. You got me into that record, Dave. You were like big into them. And I remember it was like the year 2000 and it was weird. Yeah. It was a weird time. And
yeah.
That album was kind of part of our soundtrack. And we'd like just get baked and listen to the Soft Bulletin.
Like, well, Zyreka.
Yeah.
I got that record and I remember borrowing CD players from my neighbors.
Yeah.
You know, it can be fairly unlistenable at times because you're supposed to be syncing when you hit play. So everything, you know, kind of works together. But you think of it as excusable and being unique because there's a lot of drugs involved. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Like sometimes they don't sync up perfectly. Yeah, exactly. And it's just kind of like, well, it's experimental. That's all. It's like, you know. But
the Soft Bulletin was like you called it a classic. There is no other word that does it justice other than that. I mean, other than being legendary.
Yeah, man.
But that's... I didn't know you were coming with that topic tonight. And I had just read an article because the Flaming Lips just released a new album called American Head.
Right.
And Wayne Coyne was interviewed in Rolling Stone, and I was shocked to realize he is 59 years old.
Yeah, man. He's been at it for a long time.
A long time. Yeah. And the second thing I found amazing was he really doesn't like LSD.
Yeah, he doesn't do drugs at all, really. I mean, or not much. I mean, that's from what he says.
Yeah, I was like, dude, this guy's going to be freaking... Gonna have a peyote in an IV. You know what I mean? Right. When you listen to the music, the sounds, the lyrics he comes up with and everything.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
He thinks it's terrifying. He doesn't like it. Yet here we are, you know, his young followers were like, we gotta fucking drop some acid, listen to some Flaming Lips, baby.
I know. Their main songwriter, the guy Stephen Drode, he's like the one who does most of the writing. He has had a long struggle with drugs over the years. And there was like an old documentary called The Fearless Freaks about the Flaming Lips. And you could watch it and it was all behind the scenes, this and that. But there's a whole segment about him shooting up and him just being like casual about it. Cause when you're an addict, you don't think it's weird. It's just what you do every day. So he's just kind of like, yeah, this is my morning. And he kind of like goes through it like he's making an omelet. You know, he's just kind of like, I mix this and this and this is what I do. And he's just, shooting up on screen. And he was a real mess for a while. And there's a song on the Soft Bulletin called the Spider Bite song.
Right.
And the lyrics are like, when I saw that spider bite on your hand, I thought we would have to break up the band. And it's all about how, Stephen Drode had this spider bite. He's like, a spider bit my hand. And his hand got so infected, the doctors were talking about having to cut off his hand. Oh, and shit. So Wayne Coyne wrote this song about how sad he'd be if he lost his hand and we couldn't make music together anymore. And it would just really be horrible. And it turned out way later that it was his spider bite. It was an abscess from shooting up in his hand.
Yeah.
And he almost lost his hand from it. And Wayne Coyne had written this beautiful song about, you know, how a spider bite bit his hand and all this. And he would tell that story in front of crowds, like everywhere and in interviews and all this. And then it turned out, no, it was just where he was shooting up and he almost lost his hand from being a heroin addict. And like, but,
So. Can I add one more thing? Sure. I know I was just like, wow, I was wowed and amazed by these two facts.
Yeah.
Here's another thing I find quite spectacular. In this day and age, in 2020, where we have music so accessible to us, where we can get it anywhere, I can talk to a speaker on my desk, ask it to play anything. So you wonder how the music industry truly functions anymore properly. They have been on Warner Brother Records for 30 years.
I know.
Holy cow. Crazy.
30 fucking years. And you go, okay, that's one thing if you were, and I'm just going to name a band, Bon Jovi.
Right.
Right. There's a popular band. Moms know it. Grandmas know it. Everybody knows who the fuck Bon Jovi is. But we are talking about an act, artists that have pushed the boundaries of music and sound since their inception, really.
Right.
Yet they are with a major label to this fucking day. That is something else.
It gives you hope.
It doesn't even give me hope because I don't even know. Listen, I mean, think about all the bands that you love, Toby, Nate, and they might have been on a major label back in the day. And even not even a major label, but under the umbrella, let's say like Interscope or something like that.
Right.
Yeah, now they're pumping out
imprint.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Right, but now they're pumping out their own shit on their own label or just online, whatever they need to do to get their content out there. And these guys have had the backing of this major fucking corporation, despite again just being
normal, a bunch of weirdos.
Weirdos. I was gonna say normal folks don't understand them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you say, oh, have you heard the Flaming Lips? How many people do you know on the street would go, yeah, I fucking love them? Very, very few. When you find another Flaming Lips fan, you go, you. Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
they draw some crowds nowadays, though. They do play some big places. Although I don't know. I guess it was during that Yoshimi Battles of Pink Robots period. They really got huge for a while, but it's kind of died off a little, but they still play some pretty big festivals, big venues. And like I said, it's their live show. It's so impressive. You can't ignore it, you know?
It's amazing. I'm just saying they're not like a fucking name brand. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And you didn't go see them when they played like 5 minutes from your house, 10 minutes from your house.
Nope. Couldn't fucking deal with the traffic. No, thank you. I don't give a fuck if you're the Pope. It doesn't matter to me. Fucking, I ain't putting up with that shit. Now, Tobster, you know, me and Nate, we talk quite a bit about the Flaming Lips on air, off the air.
Yes, I've noticed.
What are your impressions of the band? You've noticed. What do you think?
I mean, I like them. I tried to tell you guys that my favorite song was Bad Days, and I got scolded for it.
No.
You guys.
No.
You didn't get scolded by me.
What are you saying by me?
Dave was telling
me. Dazzling Dave. And when did I scold you? How did I scold you?
You told me that that's not the best song, and I told you it was, and you said no.
He was probably just doing it to be a contrarian and say, like you're like, I like Bad Days. He's like, that's the worst fucking song. You know?
I didn't even say that. I didn't even go that far. I'm just like, no, that's not my favorite song.
Yeah. Well,
no. I did write no, bluntly.
Yeah.
But that's me being me. Dude, how is that scolding?
My feelings were hurt.
So if you go in the fucking supermarket and you say, oh, do you have marshmallow fluff? And they go, no. You go, don't
my feelings
scold
might get
me.
Hurt. That my feelings might get hurt. You don't understand. Yeah.
Well, okay, you precious flower.
We're allowed to have fucking different teacup. Opinions.
Yeah. Yeah, of course we're allowed. I'm just saying it's tough because, okay, maybe I was scolding you. Because, listen, here, think about this. Like, and Nate can agree with me, and I'm sure you can agree with me about bands that you care about or you like. Yeah. It's like if someone comes to me and says, oh, David Bowie, I love that Space Oddity. Oh, my God. Yeah. You're like, that's an amazing song. But, dude, look at his entire catalog.
Right. Of course.
Let's say it took, you know, and everybody, like Nate just said, it has a personal favorite. Right. But when you choose, like, a popular song or something that might have been in a movie.
You're like, I love Do You Realize by the Flaming Lips. You know, one of their huge songs.
Yeah, but that was a great fucking song, too.
It's a great song. But I'm just saying that's, like, you know.
Yeah, so there's no wrong choice, but you also want to kind of open the doors to people.
Yeah. To more stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, you dig that? Okay, cool. Well, come on in. Join the club.
You like one, you like more.
We'll give you a membership card, okay, a funny little hat, whatever you need to keep you here, because there's so much more to explore.
Exactly.
Sounds
good, man.
You were talking about how they did all this experimental stuff with like boomboxes and stuff like that. One of the bands that I like called the 68, they actually released a music video a couple of years ago to where you had to play two separate YouTube videos because there's only two people in the band. One guy plays drums, the other guy plays guitar and sings. Yeah. And so one video is just the drummer and the other video is just the vocals and the guitar. So you had to play them you had to sync it up and play them at the same time to actually hear the song. And that was the only way you could hear the single that they released. So you couldn't
That's frustrating.
It's frustrating, but at the same time you're like, man, that's fucking cool. But
they make you work for it.
It's like, well, bands have done that before. Like, this isn't anything new. Yeah. But that guy, he was in another band before that called The Chariot. And their first record, they did it like it's all one take. So you can hear like the guitar like scratches and stuff like that. Like it's not
polished.
It's not polished, and it's for some reason it's beautiful. They ended up re-recording it, you know, where it sounds really studio heavy.
Yeah.
And it's just I can't listen to that version.
Right.
I don't like the polished version. I like the ones that are kind of gritty. So
sure, man.
It's kind of neat. I wonder if there's any influence from, you know, the Flaming Lips.
It was a unique thing. Yeah, those experiments were pretty cool. I remember reading about them. I never imagined getting to go to those. That must have been cool. It's like I was in car 12 hitting play on my fucking car stereo back in 1997 or whenever it was. But
Nate, you know, it's interesting, and I was not aware of this until you mentioned it just now, how they agreed to make the Soft Bulletin
on the same budget.
On the same budget, because they were just going fucking out there. Because, I mean, listen, if you were an executive or anybody of sound or right mind, and they said to you, okay, we got this idea, you're going to push play on four fucking discs at the same, you know, you'd be like, we're not going to make a fucking dime off this shit.
Yeah.
There's no way in fucking hell. Like, that's so self-indulgent. No.
Exactly.
So, but then not only did they get the label to agree to that, but they also created one of the greatest albums of all time.
Sure.
In the same fucking,
same sessions. Built a studio to handle it because they knew a regular studio, it would have charged them so much money to try to do Zyreka and try to, you know, put it on all these different discs and all this. So they built a studio to do it.
That's
so they
nuts.
Could have the freedom.
And look at that. Yeah. Just like Toby mentioned, you can do it on YouTube now.
Sure.
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. That's something else.
All right. Well, guys, I got to start heading home. I hate to be a...
You go nowhere. But listen, I understand. We all have places to be, people to see, things to do. But before we go that route, I do want to mention, anybody out there listening to the show, check us out on social media, okay?
Sure.
I'm sure you guys have it. You use it. Then don't fucking ignore us, okay? On Twitter, at Selling Out Show. On Instagram, at Selling Out Show. I believe we have a Facebook, at Selling Out Show 1. Be sure to check out all that stuff.
Yeah.
Follow it. Do whatever you do. Click buttons, yada, yada, yada.
Yep.
If you like what you heard today, send us an email, sellingoutshow@gmail.com. That's another way to reach us for all you old fogies out there. I would say send us a letter, but I'm not giving you my motherfucking address unless you're sending me cool shit for free. So, that all being said, I want to thank each and every one of you for checking out the show, listening to the show. I appreciate it. I love you. I want to squeeze you hard.
Ooh.
Ooh, that elicited an ooh from Toby.
Ooh.
So, unless you two fine gentlemen have anything else to add... Yes, no, maybe. No, and from Nate, Toby.
Tickle me, Toby. That's it. Tickle me.
That is whack nugget, Nate. That is tickle me, Toby. I am Dazzling Dave, and this has been The Selling Out Show.
Peace. Wake up to the devil.